What amazing words to say in a synagogue or in a church. The Spirit of God is upon me because God has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. Can you imagine declaring yourself to be anointed? It sounds so fancy, if not downright messianic. Hello, I am God's anointed one. We can give Jesus a pass on this. After all, that is who he was. But in our day and age, we tend to be skeptical of people who declare themselves to be prophets. And for good reason. There has been a lot of abuse done by people in the name of religion. I was watching a TV show last week where there's a character you find out about in episode 3 called The Prophet. Yeah, he's going to be the villain. I'm absolutely sure of it. So what if I were to tell you that, as weird as it sounds, you are anointed? On some level, it is true because that is literally what the word Christian means. Christ was the anointed one, the Messiah, and we are his body. The church was born out of Jesus' death because they had a need to keep him going, to keep his ministry going on earth. People were needed to be his hands, his feet, to heal, to join on the way. There's a beautiful translation in the Acts of the Apostles where it talks about the first people who joined the way of Jesus after his death. 3,000 were converted, and it says that day by day, God added to their numbers those who were being made safe. We usually translate this as those who were being saved, but being made safe or given safety actually makes a lot of sense because these so-called converts were strangers, poor people, widows and orphans, slaves and former slaves who were being drawn into a new way of life and a community that accepted them. They were invited to join in something bigger than themselves where they could find safety, even wholeness, maybe for the first time in their lives. And then they were invited to pass it on and welcome others. Pastor Brent explained last week that when the Apostle Paul wrote to the early Christian community in Corinth, he was writing to a community that brought together Jew and Greek, rich and poor, trying to be one body together. Paul counseled the poorer and weaker members against the temptation to say that they don't belong to this body because they don't feel good enough. He wrote, "If the foot would say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body." Belonging does not depend on fitting in, on being like others, even on self-esteem. So what is it based on? What if belonging, according to Paul, is simply a fact of our existence? We were made to belong. Now, even if this was the case, belonging still requires authentic community to be experienced. So he continued in his letter, "God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, so that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it." There's a word in our recent HUCC A New Task Force report that describes this beautifully. The word is solace. As in, HUCC is a place of solace for people looking for a safe place to explore faith. If you look at the origin of this word in Latin, to console someone or give them solace is to do so much more than just bring them comfort. It is to give them a safe place to shine, a place where they can become happy or radiant, as the root word soul suggests. Far from being a refuge where people can come to hide out from the world, church is a place where people can come to rediscover their shine, to rediscover the gifts they have to radiate for the sake of their world. What kinds of things would cause people to lose their shine? Unfortunately, like the bad behavior of a lone prophet, organized religion has been one of the main culprits. I was recently talking with a member here who left the dominant religion of Utah a number of years ago. Hearing about their journey reminded me of my own path, leaving my first church home, the Roman Catholic Church, where I was raised. To be in a church that doesn't fully accept you because of your gender and sexuality, it is a disconnecting experience. I couldn't imagine a future outside of church because my faith was a huge part of who I was. But inside the church, I couldn't be at peace about other things that made me me, like being a woman with a call to ministry. Now, my example is about gender and sexuality, but there are so many other examples. Children who aren't invited to play during worship. People with a disability who use sign language or Braille, who can never encounter this form of communication at church. African American people who attend majority white congregations yet feel like their full cultural blackness is not welcome to be expressed. Faced with such a conundrum, you start to feel like the world has no place for you. But to find a church where you can be fully yourself, slowly the inner division and disconnection is overcome, the parts of yourself come back together, and the lights turn back on. Paul calls each of us Christ's body and individually members of it. We are individuals. A foot is a foot, not a hand. An ear is an ear, not an eye. All are needed. And Paul says that each and every one of us is indispensable. A foot should not try to be a hand, for walking is as good as holding. An ear should not pretend to be an eye, for hearing is as good as seeing. Paul writes, "The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' No one can say, 'I have no need of you,' about anyone." Martin Luther King Jr. said it this way in his famous letter from Birmingham jail. All life is interrelated. We are caught in an inescapable network of mutuality, tied in a single garment of identity. Whatever affects one directly affects all indirectly. For some strange reason, I can never be what I ought to be until you are what you ought to be, and you can never be what I ought to be until I am what I ought to be. This is the interrelated structure of reality. So friends, without you, yes, you, our body cannot be whole. You are necessary. So while it is sad for the many individuals, including myself, who have been stuck in churches that did not allow them to be fully who they are, and it's so sad for the individuals who leave faith altogether and lose that part of themselves, who it is really sad for is the church. Christ's body cannot afford to lose the light of any of its members. Now, this is not to say that you need to be a member of HUCC. Christ's body is much bigger than our congregation. You are indispensable to something far bigger than our small church. What you are indispensable to is the world. The world needs your shine, your full and authentic self. Our church is called to be a place where you can shine. We do this through building authentic community, through creating relationships, through proclaiming a gospel of justice and wholeness, through offering a place where people can come and be refreshed and rejuvenated. We do this by being a place of solace, of radiant joy for all people. May we continue. Amen.